2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. If you haven't memorized by now, praise God. Fantastic. That's a good thing. By the way, you know, with 3 full months of preaching on the subject, we probably should have this memorized, right? If you will. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll begin together in verse 14. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can join me out loud on the even verses, but we'll start together all on verse 14 here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is all, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house are the vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Here we are once again, as we look to the scriptures, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And last week we talked about the phrase rightly dividing. The rendering in scripture is only this way in the New Testament, and it means to cut straight or to divide right. And we talked about the word of God, and we talked about that it needs to be cut straight, it needs to be divided right. And I lamented the fact that I didn't think about this sooner, but last week I told you that I'd bring my sword, okay? Does anybody here have a sword? Anybody? Ben's got a sword. Miss Dee Dee, you got a sword. Okay. John, you got one. Isaiah, you got a sword? Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. You got one, Nathan? You never showed me your sword before. Yes, I know you have that. Thank you. That's fine. Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. Well, I got one. It was a gift from my wife. And it's quite lovely, actually. How many of you know what Damascus is? It's a city, right? In Asia. All right. No, it's a laminated steel, if you will. It has different layers. And this is a real sword. It's really sharp. John, you want to try it out? What do you think? Here, just kind of, don't slide it this way because you'll slice yourself there. You think it's sharp? What do you think? Yeah, looks sharp? All right. Is yours sharp like this? No, it's just pretty dull. Okay. How's yours sharp? No? Yeah. Now, did everybody kind of notice here, this has a real good edge here. It has a real good edge here. You know what they call that? A two-edged sword. That's right, exactly. It has two edges. And you know what? The thing about it is I've not really actually practiced with this before, if you will. But if I wanted to be good at it, I should practice with it, right? Because, you know, it's got some weight to it. It's got some heft to it. And so I should practice, because when I cut, what should I want to do? Cut straight, right? And I want, in order to do that, I need to have control, right? Precision, practice.
Why do you think God says that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved? You know, as a pastor, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, it tells that a pastor should not be a novice. That a pastor should give himself to reading and to study so that he can properly wield the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God. If I improperly wield this, right, that's a bad thing. I could hurt myself, right? But you understand that if it's properly wielded, it does the job it's supposed to do. Now, obviously, a physical sword like this, what's the job it's supposed to do? Kill things, okay? And so you should do that properly, obviously, right? Because to do it improperly would be a detriment to your health, okay? Because there's going to be other guys with one of these trying to do the same thing to you, right? So, but as far as the scriptures go, if you improperly wield the sharp two-edged sword, it can hurt people. Damage them, you know what I mean? But if you wield it properly, it's like a surgical instrument, performing surgery to help people. Do you all understand what we're talking about? So, I thought this would be fun. Did you think this is a fun example that helped you understand the scriptures better? Good, then I succeeded. Okay, so there you go. Now, you can't play with it later, but you can look at it later if you'd like to. But so now, as we talk about the sharp two-edged sword, the object of rightly dividing what? What should be rightly divided? And that's the word of truth. The implication is that if something can be rightly divided, it can also be wrongly divided. This book, it is so important for us to rightly divide. Why? Because it's a book that's not ours. It's not of this world. And it comes with great responsibility. When you are in possession of something that is of great responsibility, what do you do with that something? You take care with it, right? You watch over it. You protect it. You make sure it's safe. You make sure it's in the right place at the right time and all those things. It's just kept well because it's important, right? How many of you have children or have had children or maybe you have grandchildren? Is knowing where they are important? Yeah. Why? Because they could hurt themselves, right? They could get hurt. Because they're valuable. You want to know where they are, what they're doing, etc. And so the Word of God is something that we should take great care. That's why we should practice. We should be comfortable in wielding it. We should know how it works. We should know our weapon of warfare. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? So it needs to be handled rightly. That's why he says rightly divide. Cut it straight. Because it is God's Word. Now in our scriptures, we have this particular phrase, the Word of God. I'm sorry, not the Word of God. The Word of Truth. We have it 5 times in our scriptures, the Word of Truth. We have the Word of God mentioned 49 times in scripture. The Word of God, 49 times. And then the Word of the Lord, 258 times in scripture. So, you understand that this is God-breathed, this book, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And so we understand that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Folks, listen. We have, those of us that are believers in Christ, we're born again, we have the Holy Ghost of God in us. Why is that good? Because we have a sword coach right there with us. I had the privilege of forging a knife on Friday. I got a chance to there was a little forge and they took a piece of a horseshoe and they put it in there and got it red hot, orangey red color but the man didn't just say, here's a piece of metal, here's the forge, go for it. Because, you know, Brother Adam, it takes a little practice working with that stuff, doesn't it? It does indeed. Yeah, it does indeed. And it can burn you, can it? Easily. Have you been burned? Can I ask that? Many times. Okay, good. And with Brother Adam and I, you know, we got some beard hair to worry about, and it probably gets singed a little bit. Yeah? It burns too. I love that. But you know, he didn't just let me go. And by the way, in the finishing process, when they were sharpening it, he didn't let me do that part. Because we got this big belt of sandpaper, 36 grit. How many of you have ever worked with 36 grit sandpaper? That's some pretty stout stuff. Yeah, can I tell you, if you probably even think about touching your finger to it, your finger would half disappear. It's that abrasive of a substance. Okay, we're not talking about, you know, 200 grit or 800, you know, or anything like that. 250, 300. This cuts away metal pretty easily, and so it would have a picnic with your finger. But what he did was he showed me the whole process. So while this metal is heating up in the forge, he's got me standing at the anvil, and he's telling me about the hammer, and he's telling me about the tools that we use, the tongs and the things that they would use, and he put little marks on the anvil, and he showed me how to hit it, and he even said, look, when you hit it this way, you stand like this, and when you hit it this way, you stand like this, and he showed me some different things, and he said, sometimes I'm going to want you to hit it at an angle, and you need to stand back a little bit to get an angle, and crouch down a little, and he taught me about different harder hits and straight hits, and then some lighter hits, and then we used another tool, a flattening hammer, and we flattened it out, and just a whole process of things. Can I tell you, I had an instructor. I had a guide to show me how to rightly forge a knife. Do you see what I'm talking about? Folks, we have the Holy Spirit. And if we let Him be full in us, He'll help us cut straight. You know, every time I swung that hammer, I was moving the metal into a place that it should go. And if I hit it the wrong way, it would push the metal in a wrong direction. Do you understand that? That's why it's so imperative that as we wield the Word of God and as we look into the Word of God, that we allow the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide. Anybody ever take any kind of sword lessons or fencing lessons or things like that? Nobody. Okay. Well, can I tell you something? There's a way to thrust, right? And there's a fancy word. There's a way to parry. You know, you're not fencing people. Okay. But listen, there's a way to handle this weapon. You know, it matters if I come at this angle or if I come at this angle. And it matters how I, because then I can recover and I can defend. All right? So you understand that there's a process to it. It's not just about going out there and just swinging like this. This is really hard to do, actually. You understand? Okay? But you understand, but maybe this movement, at this movement, if I'm here, I can recover to here. Because I'm preparing myself. This goes into geometry, right? We can do physics and stuff like this, Brother Nicholas. Because the weight and the momentum, right, causes me to be able to go to another position to defend or to attack or to... Do you understand? But I have a guide to show me all of that. And so we need to make sure that we have the Holy Spirit of God as our guide because it's the word of truth. It's His word. It's God's word. It's the word of the Lord. It is what has proceeded from His mouth. It is what has been spoken by God. It is what God has commanded, what God has promised, what God has revealed, what God has given. That's what the word means. It's God breathed. God has given us His word. Isn't that special? I think it's special. As much as I personally think that this sword is special because it was given to me by my wife. Someone who loves me, right? Someone who, if you will, appreciates me. Although I don't know why she does, but she does. But she loves me and she appreciates me. So she gave me this gift. So you know what? Even if it wasn't a good sword and if it wasn't sharp or anything like that, it still comes from her. So it's special to me. It's dear to me. So I'm going to cherish it. And I'm going to enjoy it. And by the way, God loved us. And I know it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But what is Jesus called in John chapter 1? The Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You understand that Jesus Christ is the Word. We need to, and John, last week we read that John says that which we have handled, right? The Word of life. Jesus Christ is the Word. And I know that this is not the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's God's Word. And it's what we have, what he's given to us to cherish. And that's why it's so very important to have this as the foundation of your life, folks. And by the way, you need to know that it's a sure foundation. Do you realize that your pastor believes that every single word in this book is true? Every word. And here's why. If I couldn't believe that, then what in the world am I doing reading it? If there was even a chance that on page 1266 in my Bible, and by the way, the page numbers aren't different because of the content, it's because of font size and justification of the pages, that's not inspiration, okay? But on page, in your Bibles, let's look in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, if I knew that that "and" was not the Word of God, I'm going to throw this book away. That's how much I believe it. Because if I can't know that that "and" is the Word of God, then how do I know that on this page in Psalm 109, the word "hold" is God's Word? How do I know that? And how do I know if those aren't the Word of God, then how do I know that in Job chapter 2, the word "again"? How do I know that that word is not God's Word? You see, I have to believe it. I have to believe that every single word is God-breathed, is God's Word. That it's by inspiration of God, that God has given it to us for us to have. Every single thing. If a soldier ever thought, as he was going into battle, that this sword wouldn't do the job, why would he go into battle with it? If he was looking at it, going down the blade and examining and cleaning his weapon, which by the way you should do, you ought to examine it. You ought to look at it. And he's going through, hey, look, there's a little crack here. Well, then I can't trust this weapon. Oh yeah, this is a sword that I've had all my life, and but there's a crack in it, there's a flaw, and if I go into battle and I swing and I hit something, it's gonna go, and it's gonna shatter. And then I'm going to be without a weapon in the battlefield, and I'm probably going to die. Do you see how serious it is? So we've got to be able to trust our sword. The Word of God, can I tell you something? Is trustworthy. Absolutely, 100% trustworthy. You say, well, but sometimes, Pastor, I've heard people say, well, I'm not sure if it's this way. Listen, by the way, if you're ever not sure about the Bible's right and you're not sure. It's that easy. Okay? And by the way, or if you say, you know, I know the Bible says this, but I don't think it's that way, then your thinking is wrong. Because this book is never wrong. It can't be, folks. I mean, how many of you believe that God could lie? Anybody? What? Why can't God lie? Because he would cease to be God if he ever did. You realize that? Okay, so just as much as that's an absolute truth, this book can't be wrong. Because if it is wrong, it can't be the Word of God. Do you see how that works? So we've got to realize that this is the Word of truth. By the way, I told you what a word was. Let me tell you what truth is. Truth is purity or absence of falsehood. Purity from falsehood, or the absence of falsehood, that's truth. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Look at 1 John chapter 1. We talked about this last week a little bit. Truth is the absence of falsehood, or the purity from falsehood. It is the exact accordance to that which is, or has been, or shall be. It's the conformity to fact or reality. It's the true state of facts or things. That's what truth is. So it's the word of truth. It's what God has said, and there is a complete absence of falsehood from it. Look at what it says here in verse 5. This then is the message, John says, which we have heard of him. Who's the him, by the way, in this particular passage? Jesus Christ. Remember the beginning? That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that we have looked upon with our hands and have handled, the word of life. We know that this life is Jesus Christ, this word. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is what? Light, and in him is no darkness at all. And I love the phrase in the Bible that says that God, which cannot lie, you understand that? That's what God, he can't. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come. You understand that God is truth. No matter what man may say, let God be true and every man a liar. See, listen, I could quote Bible verses all day long. I probably should have, but I didn't look it up, but I'm going to guess it's over the thousands. The word truth is used in our King James Bibles. It's used a lot. Why? Because it's so precious. It's so very important. The word of truth is so very important. It's what God has spoken, commanded, or promised. It's what God has proceeded out of his mouth and revealed to us. It's God's revealed word to man. And it's the true state or the true fact of things with the absence of falsehood. Purity from falsehood. The word of God is a pure word. Purified how many times? 7 times, the Bible says. You understand? So the word of God is pure. It is clean. It is perfect. It is true. We've got to understand that it's trustworthy. We can go and we can wield it. It can be rightly divided. It can cut straight. It is the word of God. And we should be comfortable with it, if you will. We should be able to handle it well. And we should know exactly what it says. And listen, if you don't know, then you don't know. Don't make something up. You know, there's people out there that have made up a lot of doctrine or made up a lot of things, and they really don't know. So my mentors always taught me in Bible college and in the ministry that if you don't know, don't make it up. If the Bible's silent, if the Bible doesn't give you that clarity and to know what something is, then don't just make up your own thing, because it's too important. That would be irresponsible. And you know what? It hurts people. You know, there have been many people hurt by false doctrines. By the way, false doctrines are a device of the devil. Oh, the devil loves false doctrines. He does. He loves them. Because they turn people from the truth. That's his whole deal. He's wanting to turn people from the truth. We have the word of truth, and it's got to be rightly divided so that we can be a workman approved unto God. That's what we should be. So very quickly today, take the last few minutes here. We're going to look at these 5 places in Scripture. Well, 4, because we already looked at 1 here in 2 Timothy. 4 more places in Scripture where this particular phrase, the word of truth, is used. Go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and it's the Hebrew letter, I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's vau, I think, V-A-U. I'm sure there's a different Hebrew pronunciation of it, but I don't know Hebrew, so it's a Hebrew letter. But here in Psalm 119, by the way, if you'd like to, I preached a whole year and a half, or maybe 2 years, I don't remember, on Psalm 119, and I included this particular portion of it. But look here in verse 41. It's written originally in Hebrews. Psalm 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to what? Folks, how do we know that we know we're saved? Because of this book. If anybody asks me, Pastor, how do you know you're going to heaven? I know I'm going to heaven because that book tells me so. It's not a feeling, folks. I don't feel like I'm going to heaven. By the way, I still don't. Does that make sense to you? Because in and of myself, I'm a wicked sinner. And you know what? There are days where I probably don't feel very saved. Why? Because I'm wicked. But that book says I'm saved because I'm bought with a price. And that transaction of salvation was done when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Folks, we have a no-so salvation because of this book. He says, according to thy word, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. Hey, are people going to reproach us? Hey, is that old devil going to sit there and say, ah, you can't be saved because you're participating in this. And God wouldn't approve of that. Come on now. Oh, doesn't he love to cast doubt on things? What was one of the very first things he said to a human being? Yea, hath God said? Oh, he loves to cast doubt. You know what he's going to do to the Christian? He's going to say, look, hell yeah. Yeah, you said you trusted Jesus, but you didn't really mean it, did you? Oh, that old devil, he's going to try to attack you. He's going to reproach you. He's saying, well, you don't deserve to be saved. You know what I tell him? You're right, I don't deserve to be saved. But by his grace and mercy, he saved me anyways. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's according to his mercy he saved us. Okay, continue on here. He says, so I shall have to answer with him that reproached me, for I trust in thy word. Folks, how does this man get by in life? By the word of God. The word of truth. He says, and look what he says here. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Where was the word of truth for this psalmist? It was in his mouth. Now this is a whole other sermon altogether. But what's in your mouth? Huh? That's right. That's true. And what should be in your heart? The word of God. The word of truth. And listen, we've got to have it ready. We've got to have it in our mouth so we can speak the truth of the word of God to others. We need to be able to give out the truth. And he said, did you listen to what he said? He said, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. He says, for I have hoped in thy judgments. He says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now, is that someone who you think believes that this is the word of truth? It's God's word, the word of truth. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul talks about the word of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. So he says that the ministry, they're approved by all these negative things. By the way, we should count it all joy when we enter into diverse temptations, James tells us, right? So, because patience has her perfect works. Paul's saying, look, all these difficulties are a proof of what we're doing. They're a proof that we're ministers unto God. Now, look what he says. He says that that in all these things, we are approving ourselves as the ministers of God. By the way, what's the theme of our verse? Study to show thyself approved. Okay? So now, this is how, these are the things that are, they're approved in these fashions. But now I want you to look by what he says with this semicolon. He says, in these things we're approved unto God. And now he says, by these things we're approved. So these are the elements of approval. By pureness. What's pure, everybody? Whatsoever things are pure. What's pure? Jesus Christ. What's pure? The Word of God. By pureness, he says, look at the next one. Not only by pureness, by knowledge. Okay, what are we supposed to get? Knowledge. Let me clarify, what kind of knowledge are we supposed to get? The knowledge of God. Where do we find that? Not in the world. We find it right here in the word of truth. He says by knowledge, by long suffering. Is that an attribute of Christ? It is. By the way, is long suffering a fruit of the Spirit? It is. By kindness. How about that? Yep. By the Holy Ghost. By love unfeigned. So he says we are approved in all these things by all these other things. Look at the next one. By the word of truth. You know, we're approved by the very thing that we're supposed to study. We are. Hey, listen. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What tells us that we've sinned against him? Or not sinned against him? So you see, we are evaluated or approved by the very thing we're supposed to rightly divide. This book is a special book. By the word of truth. He says, by the power of God. It's by the power of God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, right? Paul said in Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Folks, if you want the power of God in your life, you've got to be invested in the word of truth. And you've got to cut it straight. Rightly divide the word of truth. Look what else he says here. He says, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, right? And having done all, and withstand and all that, it says it 4 or 5 times in there. What are some of the things? The breastplate of righteousness, right? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I should just put this up here. I don't even know. I keep having to reach back for it. All right, stay. Now, I don't want to get bogged down. Here, let's see. By honor, dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. For a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Folks, listen. The word of truth and being approved of God in the word of truth is so very important. Go over to James chapter 1. Nope, sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll get to James in a moment. I skipped one. You're listening very well. I'm the one being slow.
Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this real quick. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard what? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, it's the word of truth. What is? The gospel. The word of God. Folks, that's how we're sealed. That's how we're sanctified. That's how we're saved. It's by the word of God. The word of truth. And it's got to be cut straight. It's got to be rightly divided. It's got to be properly wielded. We've got to have an instructor, the Holy Spirit of God, to guide us into all truth. Now go to James chapter 1. Last one, I promise. Just two verses here. Look at verse 17 and 18. Can I tell you something? This book, this word of truth from God is so very, very special. And it deserves our care. By the way, Christ has already called us workmen. We're workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. We ought to be working and be a skillful artificer, because this book is so precious to deal with. It's a precious commodity. It's the word of truth. Look what he says here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I could just stop right there. Where does this come from? It doesn't come from the pen of men. It comes from God. This is God breathed. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, listen to this, begat he us. With what? The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, if you study anything about the first fruits, you realize that that's a special thing. And to whom do the first fruits belong? They belong to God. Remember, the Bible tells us that we're not our own. We are bought with a price. Folks, we're his. We're his workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, cutting straight the word of truth. This is a precious commodity. The word of God, the word of truth, the word of the Lord. And we ought to deal with it correctly. As skilled artificers, as workmen that needeth not to be ashamed.